Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is Saturday, December 1st, 2007. Today's forecast calls for a mixture of clouds and sun with highs around 57 degrees. Wind should be west between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Tonight you can expect mainly clear conditions with lows around 40 degrees. And tomorrow we'll start off partly cloudy, clearing by later in the day with highs around 63 degrees. Tomorrow night should be mostly clear with lows around 44 degrees. Today's Monterey Bay boaters forecast, west winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves 2 to 3 feet, and a west swell 4 to 6 feet. At 14 seconds. Outside the station, it is 50 degrees. The time is now, we're coming up on 10:06, and it's time for the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Dave, I feel so insecure.
Why is that?
The promo isn't here in the computer. I hope you have it.
I do have it.
Okay, good. So you and I will have this great little cue thing.
Teamwork. Between,
yeah, okay, good.
All right.
So I will open the program as we normally do, the properly proper way.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Can you believe it's December? December 2007? I mean, seemed like yesterday it was December of 67, and I was in this room before I'd been kicked off. Oh, no, that was almost a year after I'd been kicked out of the radio station. Welcome to hour number one of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We got a really special today, so stay with us for the next 2 hours. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
There are a surprising number of nationally and internationally known businesses headquartered or started in Santa Cruz County. Seagate, Granite Construction, Plantronics, West Marine, and many other fine operations all call this place home. One of the oldest such companies, Martinelli's of Watsonville, has become one of the most recognized brands of premium juices, as well as holiday and year-round non-alcoholic beverages in the world. And it's still family-owned and operated since 1868. Wait a minute. There must be some mistake. How is it possible that a business could become so big and not have been bought out by the big boys years ago? Find out this and a lot more about the S. Martinelli Company when its manager and real nice guy, John Martinelli, joins us on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on We Need to Do More Stuff Like This a Lot More Often Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. But welcome back to KSCO, John. It's great to have you here.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
You and I worked together in a nonprofit organization called Thanks many years ago. It's about 20 years ago, I think, right?
Probably 20.
Together helping Americans
nationwide keep strong.
Whatever happened to Thanks? It was a great idea about labeling to let people know where their foods were coming from. And then they could make a choice whether they want to buy locally, you know, or buy, you know, nationally, or buy foreignly.
Exactly. That organization was founded by Dick Shaw, who unfortunately just passed away last year. I don't know if you knew that.
I read that.
He actually is also my brother-in-law's father. So we're, you know, family.
Oh, wow.
And all that.
Uh-huh.
And so Dick roped us into the organization. He was the kind of guy that you couldn't say no to.
Exactly.
Right? You know that.
Exactly.
But you
can't say no to a good idea, you know, anyhow.
Exactly. So. And, you know, and his whole point was he saw the trend in the food business was going to more and more foods being imported. And he wasn't necessarily against imports. He just felt that the consumer needed and deserved to have the information on where their food products were coming from, and then they could make an intelligent decision on whether to purchase that product or not.
Exactly.
And so his idea was, if we created a sort of a handful of companies that could, you know, qualify for the tag 100% U.S. grown, and then have this logo that would be recognizable in a lot of the same ways that our gold medals are on our product, that way you'd build a consumer base of people that recognize those products as 100% U.S. grown and that would choose to purchase them because they knew where they were coming from.
Now, that was, I believe, about 20 years ago, maybe 86, 87. Does that sound right?
That's about right.
Uh-huh. And whatever happened, I mean, I still see an occasional, you know, yellowed thanks bumper sticker around.
They're still out there, and those are as old as the hills. You know, we still have a little thanks logo on our label. If you see down there, that little farmer, support our farmers, and it says thanks.
Oh, yeah, that is it.
Yeah, 100% U.S. grown.
Yeah, support our farmers. And it has a nice little tractor. Michael Olson would appreciate this.
Actually, we're just getting ready to change that that logo to a simpler, easier-to-read U.S. grown logo. But the thing is, we actually still, thanks still exists. I still am the president of thanks when Dick bailed, and we've turned it into a not-for-profit philanthropic organization. We've got about 50 grand in the bank, and it spins off interest, and we give it to, local organizations that are doing. We do ag scholarships and stuff like that
with
it.
Well, that's great. Let us know what we can do to help you along those lines, because that's what we're all about, you know, just.
Well, that's interesting, because we actually haven't made a donation this year, so we've got about $3,000 that we need to give away.
Uh-huh.
So if anyone who's out there.
We can help you give away the money, or help you raise more, whatever you say here, you know.
Yeah.
So, that's terrific. We're talking with John Martinelli, who's the president, I guess. I said the wrong thing in the promo.
No, that's okay. Dad abdicated the throne in January last year.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been the president for starting in 2000.
Cool. All right. We're here with the president of Martinelli's gold medal. Now, you know, I talking in our office in my office for a few minutes before we went on air, I was actually surprised to learn that we know your business is a big business, a very well-established, long-established business, and what impressed me is when I've been on cruises and when I visited other parts of the world, you see Martinelli's sparkling cider everywhere. Everywhere.
I'm glad that surprises me, actually, because, you know, I think what happens is our product is very high quality, and quality finds itself in its way into the right places.
And I see it on the East Coast. I see it in New York. I see it everywhere, literally. And you told me that you only do an advertising campaign on the West Coast because you still consider yourself primarily a West Coast United States.
But probably 75% of our business is Denver West.
So is there some viral marketing going on here that you don't know about that should make you very happy or what?
Again, I think quality is the number one component, and quality sells. And when people like a product, I mean, we have consumer inquiries from all over the country. From people that have either passed through this area and tried it or, you know, maybe somebody served it to them at a function.
That's what's different. Yeah.
And this is what happens.
Right.
And then they say, gosh, I'm in South Dakota. You know, where can I find this? I got to have it. In fact, I gave a bottle of our new sparkling apple pomegranate to a guy the other day, and he called me. He called me the next day. He says, John, I need you to call me back. And this is really urgent. I thought, wow, I wonder what's going on. So I called him back, and he says, my wife is driving me crazy because she can't find this sparkling apple pomegranate anywhere, and I have to get it. And he lives in Stockton. And it just so happens that we have a retailer out there that I was able to direct into, because it's very sparsely. I have to tell you that we're selling it through Walmart stores this year, which is kind of a surprise, because we haven't done
this year
hardly anything with Walmart nationwide, because their customer typically is not a Martinelli customer, as we would normally expect.
What is a Martinelli?
Well, a Martinelli customer is somebody who has a very discerning quality requirement in their foods and beverages, and and quite honestly is willing to spend a little bit more for it. I mean, that's the whole point. Our product costs more because it's got much more costly ingredients in it, and our process is painstaking and doesn't cut any corners. And because of that, you know, people who are on tight budgets have a tendency maybe not to buy, to buy our products. And so that is a typical Walmart customer. And I'm not saying this in any, you know, derogatory way. It's just, it's a profile that they market to.
Right.
Yet we're finding that there are people who shop at Walmart who want Martinelli products. And so when the buyer tried our pomegranate, we showed it to her as sort of a, oh, by the way, because this is the most expensive thing we have in our entire line.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but you have to know that we have this. And she tasted it and said, oh my God, I have to have that. I have to have that in every store in the country.
Just because, oh my God.
And then wow. we couldn't get
so
this.
When was that? Just recently?
This summer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we had to put the whole thing together.
So every year you had you tried to get Walmart before now, or only now did you say, well, maybe the Walmart customers could be adapted to become Martinelli type?
We've been selling our sparkling cider there just during the holidays uh-huh. for a handful of years. It really started back in just around the millennium and the 1999, 2000, and the celebration of the new century. And so we got sparkling cider in all the stores, and it did really well. And so but we haven't been able to establish the day in and day out business in our regular juice line.
How many varieties are there now of the sparkling product?
We have, I think, 9. Peach, pear, mango, raspberry, cherry, cranberry, grape, and what we call wild berry, which is a marionberry juice. Marionberry is a cross between a Logan and a lollyberry, so it tastes an awful lot like a Gizditch pie, like a Nita Gizditch pie.
Right.
It's my favorite.
A little tangy?
A little tangy.
Uh-huh.
Sweet
yeah.
and tangy. It's a perfect.
Okay. What happened to Pippin apples? Pippin apples have always been my favorite because they're just the right tang. They're not as good look. They're green apples. I used to go out to MV Pista Company and buy, you know, big boxes of this stuff years ago. Now they're almost impossible to find anywhere. I guess you can do it. There are some places where you can. Everything's got Granny Smith. It's nice and polished and green and waxed and everything. And when you chomp into it, it's nice. It's got a nice crispy, you know, bite to it.
But that's about it.
That's it. It's tasteless.
Some people like Granny Smith's.
What?
The truth is the Newtown Pippins are all in our juice now. We buy them all. I mean,
so that's what happened.
With the exception of the, you know, the small roadside vendors that are still selling, you know, like
you. You're the one. You're the reason I can't get Pippin apples.
We are.
Anymore.
We are. I can take care of you though.
Okay.
But the Pippin is without question the world's greatest apple. And I was thinking about that this morning as I was driving over here. I said, you know, I know we're eventually going to talk about the blend and what makes our juice special, but the Pippin is unique, and it has the perfect balance of sweetness and tartness and the robust
no
apple flavor.
It's not mealy when you chomp into it.
When you eat it,
yeah.
But it also tastes better than everything else.
It really does.
And that's because it
Fuji's
just...
Fuji's are a close second, I think.
Fuji's, actually, it's interesting. It takes a Fuji and a Gala.
Yeah.
To come close to a Pippin flavor.
Right.
By itself, because Fuji's are sweet and Gala's are tart. They both have pretty good apple character.
Right.
And when you blend the two of them together, you get a flavor that's similar to a Pippin.
Well,
but a Pippin by itself is the only apple that makes good juice as a single variety.
All right. Now, I'm no expert on apple pies, but my favorite apple pie that I know about that I can go and buy easily is the Costco apple pie, because it's very large, and it went up a dollar. It was $6.99, now it's $7.99. Still, I'd buy it if it was $20.99.
It went up a whole dollar when? Recently?
Yeah, recently.
Okay,
last year to this year. That pie is, I have no idea what kind of apples. It's got to be a Pippin because they're so tart and they're so crunchy and they're so delicious. Although I did get a soft one the other day. It tasted great, but it didn't have the crunch. But then the next one I bought, I said, boy, I hope that was just an unusual batch. And it was, because the one I bought after that was, and the one after that was, were both great and crunchy and good tasting and everything. Do you have any idea?
Well, I'm afraid you're going to be very disappointed. I'm almost certain those are Granny's. Almost certain. Look at this look on your face. You're stunned. No, they are. And the thing is, a Granny Smith, if you add, you know, put the cinnamon and the sugar and all the things that, you know, and they may even be adding, and this is another thing, natural flavoring. I don't know if they do. I don't know if they do.
They
but
add some citric acid or something like that. You know, that's what I like. I like something that's really tart.
Right.
And not sweet.
But if they don't overcook the fruit, the Granny Smith has really taken over as the processing apple for slices and those kind of products, because there just are no more pippins.
If there's anybody who knows the answer to this question who might be associated with Costco, or you never know who's listening to KSCO.
That's right.
We got some pretty impotent people.
Could even be KSCO. Jim Senegal if he's in town.
Jim?
He's the owner of Costco.
Oh.
He's the CEO.
You never know.
He's a Martinelli fan, by the way. He doesn't drink alcohol and loves our sparkling cider.
Well, so chances are, if you know the guy, you're probably correct with what you just said. And yes, well, I don't listen. As long as it tastes good, I don't have anything against Granny Smith. Who is Granny Smith, by the way?
I'm sure she's nobody. Not like Betty Crocker.
So. Yeah. Anyhow, it says, are the best. The best apples in the world used to grown in Watsonville. I think the B-E word is missing. Where does the majority of the apples come from now? Dave. Okay, Dave wants to know.
This is a question coming in from our listeners?
No, it's a question coming in from the pilot in command, who must be out relieving nature's internal pressure or something.
What does he want to know?
He wants to know... the best apples in the world used to be grown in Watsonville. Where does the majority of your apples come from now, I guess?
Watsonville still.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get the vast majority of our apples come from the Watsonville area, which includes, you know, the Santa Cruz Mountains over to Hollister and San Juan Bautista, and that whole area is considered Watsonville. And then we get quite a few from Sonoma County, Sebastopol, up into Boone, and that up, you know, sort of in the wine country. And then
Boone's Farm, like Apple Wine. Remember that years ago?
That was before my time. Huh. Before your time, too.
No!
No, you were right there.
How old are you?
50.
Okay, so I'm a little older than you, but... You should have known that.
I was a good guy. I didn't. Anyway, we'll cover that bridge.
No, I didn't drink the stuff. I just watched a lot of TV and I listened to a lot of radio, and they advertised a lot, so that's how I remember.
So then the rest of the fruit comes from the Central Valley, San Joaquin Valley, Stockton, you know, up and down to Bakersfield and that. And
it always tastes the same, though. How do you do that?
That's the hard part. You have to blend. And that's the secret. I can tell you a little bit about it, but basically you take your different apple varieties that have the different characteristics that you want, and our juice is consistent because we select those apple varieties and then we put them in cold storage, and then we can bring them out of cold storage and basically hit our recipe every single day. And that so the hard part is the first part of the year, before all the apple varieties that we want are harvested, then we make our blends. So we make our cranberry and our grape and our mango and raspberry and all those things, where your apple varieties are not as, you know, as consistent. The blended juices are so strong. I mean, if you think about cranberry as a flavor and grape as a flavor, it overwhelms the apple.
Yeah.
And so that's the trick. So once we've got the apples in storage and we buy the Pippins and then the Fujis and the Galas and the Grannies and the Jonathans and the Golden Delicious and the Red Delicious and all the different varieties that go into our blend, and then we have the ratio that we want and make the juice that way every day.
It's just amazing. Now, I'm going to flash back to when I was a youngster many, many years ago, growing up in Santa Cruz. And I don't remember seeing the sparkling product, sparkling apple juice or sparkling apple cider, mm-hmm. until, I don't know, probably I must have been 11 or 12 years old. Now, did I just miss it, or when did you start producing the sparkling product? I saw the wonderful apple-shaped jars with the wonderful-tasting juice, you know, and I remember that as far back as I can remember. But I can only remember Martinelli sparkling cider back, you know, at age 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm. The whole sparkling category was created as a non-alcoholic alternative to our original champagne cider. So great-grandfather's product was a champagne cider, which was alcoholic. For you know, since 1868 to 1920. So when Prohibition came in, rather than going underground, we went above ground and said, okay, well, we're going to make a non-alcoholic version.
Pull the alcohol out.
And we just don't ferment it. And so the process then, and actually the timing was good because pasteurization had just been developed. It was 1918, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And it was developed for juices with the same process, basically, that they use for milk. And so that allowed us to preserve the product, because when it was champagne cider with alcohol, preserves it. And so it was a shelf-stable product that you could sell and have all year long. Previous to that time, your cider had to be sold when the apples were harvested. You squish it and bottle it, and away it goes.
And when turned to vinegar.
When the season it's done, it's done. So it's amazing, because that event could have destroyed our company.
Sure.
Because we didn't have a non-alcoholic alternative.
Yeah.
And pasteurization was developed at just the same time as Prohibition, so we were able to launch into the apple juice business. And the sparkling cider was the non-alcoholic version. Now,
So it was around, obviously. I just didn't notice.
And then it just was flatlined forever. I mean, even when I came to work for the company, it's been 27 years, we're 5 times bigger than we were before then. I mean, the company did not grow significantly until really the 70s. 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and there with the health food craze and all the stuff, and people were starting to...
That's about when you came aboard.
I'm not going to claim complete credit for it. I mean, we have a lot of smart people. My dad was very, very involved. My uncle Dell, who was married to Dad's oldest sister, Doris, and very dedicated employees. You know, and we all worked together. But there's no question. I mean, when I came to work for the company, I was young and very energetic, and I had ideas and started pushing things, and it corresponded with the our most rapid growth period. But we were also coming through a period of time where the company during the 60s, when both my grandparents passed away, had estate taxes. Uh-huh. And in those days, the government basically tried to take your company away from you. And this is why estate taxes is such a big deal in the news these days, because small family businesses have to sell when somebody dies, because uh-huh. the taxes basically take all of your operating capital and income for, you know, maybe as long as 10 years. So we survived that period in the 60s. But when I came to work shortly after that, our equipment was worn out, tired, done. We didn't have any facilities. We were renting everything.
Now, your facilities are on Beach Street now. Is that your office, your main office?
Right. So in our original plant was on what's now Martinelli Street in Watsonville, which was actually named after my great-grandfather's oldest brother, Lewis, who was 23 years older. My great-grandfather was the youngest of nine.
Yeah.
And so his oldest brother, second oldest brother, was an apple farmer in Watsonville. He was the first one to move over here from Switzerland in the 1850s, I guess. So he was farming apples on that piece of property where the Elks Club is, in Watsonville, on the corner of Martinelli and East Lake.
Okay.
So when great-grandfather came over, he went to work for his brother and then, you know, started his cider business literally in a lean-to on the side of his barn and then built the business there. In 1885, he moved to our current location on East Beach across from Watsonville High School. So from 1885 until 1994, that was our one and only plant. In 1994, we bought the Green Giant plant, a few blocks down, which is quite a bit bigger. And we're doing about 65-70% of our production now is in the new plant. But the old plant, is still functional. My office is there, and, we make, most of our Costco product there, the sparkling cider and the 3-packs and 4-packs in that plant. And, the plastic bottles, you know, some of the new stuff we're doing in the new plant now.
Oh, okay.
What's new for us?
Yeah. Well, so what is that? It's been 13 years, 12, 13 years already mm-hmm. since mm-hmm. you had the Green Giant. And I wasn't aware of that. I guess I sort of remember now. It's sort of coming back to me. Wonderful facility.
Oh, it's incredible.
A lot of facilities in Watsonville
Our
became available.
Plant. Exactly. Our old plant was 60,000 square feet on 2 acres, and the new plant is 400,000 square feet on 17 acres.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you can imagine that. Finally, that gave me hope for the future, because at that point, we were starting to look out in the Central Valley at plants as far away as Bakersfield, where we were not going to be able to get the apple varieties that we need, but there was nowhere else to grow in Watsonville. There was no industrial land available, and it was sad for Watsonville when the frozen food businesses you know, really couldn't justify staying there anymore. I mean, PJ McCosey, Delmar Foods is still there and he's doing fine. And I think it's another case where, you know, there's a guy who's a, you know, privately owned entrepreneur, family business guy, and he's working like heck to keep his business going. But the big corporations, they don't care. You know, we just lost, Birdseye. Birdseye Belt, you know, left town here this last year. Mm-hmm. That was Dick Shaw's old plant.
Oh, I see.
And remember, and he sold to Dean Foods, and then Dean Foods sold to Profac and AgriLink, and then it became Birdseye. And anyway, so when the numbers don't make sense, the big companies just pull out. And that's why we're still there, because we're not, you know, nobody's telling us that it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And it does make sense for us, because this is where our fruit is. You know, we have to be located where the fruit is.
There, we were talking, there are parallels between your business and mine. Yours is much bigger, obviously, but the whole idea about large companies, you know, calling the shots, things really change. I mean, if you ever do sell out, you know, you might not be able to continue saying no to the pressure or something.
I know. In almost every case.
It's not going to be the same.
No, and it's not going to happen. I mean, it's really not part of our plan. And, sure, I mean, we've had opportunities. If the company was ever close to being sold, it was just before I came to work. Dad was actually entertaining offers from Smucker's, which later bought Knudsen. And they also own Santa Cruz Natural and they're primarily in the natural foods business.
Santa Cruz Natural, did they start here?
They did. I think that was John Battendary. Wasn't that his business?
I don't know. It's one of those things where I said, a name like this, it must have started here, but I don't remember that. You remember Harmony, you remember Odwalla.
Exactly.
You know,
now,
I don't remember Santa Cruz, but maybe it's because I wasn't paying attention. I was off doing other things. I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, so Smucker's, so Dad was being faced with, gosh, am I going to run this business all by myself? Because my uncle was getting close to retirement, and Dad was not... Dad ran the business like an entrepreneur. He was involved in all the daily decisions and didn't delegate very well. And I don't mean this in a critical way. He's probably listening to the show and he's thinking, oh God, he's trashing me now, but I'm not. The point is Dad's style was, you know, he's a thinker and he likes to sit and do his work himself. And I'm, you know, maybe a little bit more extroverted and got out and felt that I needed to build an organization that could run the business where it didn't rely on the daily involvement of a Martinelli who was sitting in a, you know, in the middle of the thing and telling everybody what to do. And it's been very challenging. And, you know, one of the things that I'm very proud of, because I think I'm more inclined to be like my dad. I mean, I do love sitting in my office and just doing my own work and getting out and, you know, dealing with people issues is very frustrating and difficult. But at the same time, that is the big challenge. I mean, that's how do you, you know, develop an organization that functions like a team. And, you know, and I've been able
to. How big is the organization, John?
When I came to work, we had 3 people in administration and probably 140 in the plant. And we've got, during our peak season, 240 in the plant and pushing 30 in administration. But see, in administration now, you've got full-time people in human resources and quality control and other aspects that are, you know, required by the government to do. I mean, especially with this crazy E. coli crisis that we're all going through. And you're laughing about something on the screen.
He writes these silly things. He changes spellings of words. Okay. He's telling me the break is 3 minutes long. Last spot, Martinelli's Sparkling Spiders.
Spiders?
He plays with.
Does he do that
letters.
On purpose?
No, he likes it. He does that on purpose. It's Dave's shtick. Sparkling Spiders.
Anyway, you know, we've had to staff up, and it's much more difficult running a business that has a lot of people, because people you know, is the best part of the business, but it also creates a lot of the issues.
Yeah.
And we do try to run the business like a family as much as you can. Well, along with that goes the squabbles and the problems and the jealousies and the, you know, aspirations and all the things that make people tick. So like I say, I think I've been successful at that. I mean, that's the thing that's made it possible for us to grow.
I want to know whose idea it was to more personalize your radio spots. We've carried your radio spots since day one around the holiday season, because I guess that's when you guys do your buys. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until the last 2 or 3 years that I noticed that you put your voice on at the end and you put your dad's voice on at the end. And that's part of the personal touch thing, you know, the full mm-hmm. family thing. I think that's brilliant, you know. And so who came up with that? Do you get credit for that yourself?
I'll take probably most of it, but I'll tell you, I haven't thought about that in a while. But it did come from a buddy of mine, actually my best friend, Tony Nethercutt's in the was in the radio business. He worked for KGO.
Oh.
And then he...
Tony who?
Nethercutt.
Okay, don't know that.
Watsonville boy, we grew up together, okay. And he's my fishing buddy. Anyway, he had me record some public service announcements that they ran on the radio, basically just saying, hi, this is John Martinelli, and I want to wish you a safe and festive holiday season, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Trying to encourage people not to drink and drive.
Right.
And then our
unless they want to drink and drive with it.
They can drink and drive with this,
yeah,
right. Because, right, you're not going to end up in a ditch. Then our radio, everybody said, gosh, you know, you sound pretty good on the radio, and you know, maybe we should, so our advertising folks, the Plessis company,
Jim Plessis.
Jim Plessis, yeah. Right? Okay, so Jim and my dad were in, went to Cal together, and like
Cal
tell
Berkeley?
Stories how Cal, well, he, don't say Berkeley, he's,
why?
It's Cal.
It's Cal,
and that's all there is to it.
Right. That, what a stupid ass thing for me to say.
Yeah, they just
There is no other Cal.
He's a real traditionalist.
Okay.
And in fact, we all know, and if
Go
he's
Bears,
listening out there, yeah, watch
game,
it now because
game.
I went to Stanford. So, the big game's
how did your
today.
Dad allow that?
And Cal's going down today.
No way. No way.
Probably not.
In your dreams.
I know. I think I agree with you, but that doesn't mean I'm not a fan.
I want to know how you ever went to Stanford, a Martinelli, you know, did your dad pay or did you have to pay yourself? Because if I were your dad, I'm saying if you want to go to Stanford, you're paying your own bill.
And you know, and junior. if you know my dad, he is a huge Cal Bear fan.
Yeah.
And he hates Stanford.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how he did it, honestly, because writing those checks, my tuition checks, must have been the hardest thing he ever did.
It
must
God.
Have been the hardest thing
he really wanted to go to Stanford really badly. I mean, for him to be willing to do that.
Yeah, actually, my mom went to Stanford, and my dad went to Cal. His sisters went to Cal. Most of the Martinelli family went to Cal.
Yeah.
My mom went to Stanford, and her brother went to Stanford. And so then there was the toss-up. And I honestly didn't think I was going to get in. And I was a good student, and I tested well and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, so when they accepted me, I figured, how can I turn them down?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great university. I have to go there.
Well, it's nice to be able to say I turned Stanford down.
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, you can do that.
I wasn't not going to do that.
Right.
Anyway, so it is really fun to continue the legacy because my lovely daughter, Anna, is a freshman at Stanford this year.
Oh, cool.
And she's doing really well, and she's the happiest person on earth right now. I can't tell you what a great experience it is for her. So,
except if she's a football fan, if she's a Stanford football fan, she's going to be disappointed this afternoon. My nephew, Andrew, is on the coaching staff. He's the head recruiter for the Cal Bears. You know,
okay.
And you know, they, well.
But she looks really cute jogging in her Beat Cal t-shirt, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay. All right. You're listening to the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ, pilot in command, Dave, Michaels, and we are with John Martinelli, the president of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Apple Mango. Well, you're not the president of this. This is actually just one of your latest brands that you brought to the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I am going to pop this during the break and probably consume the whole bottle. Because it looks and I'm sure tastes wonderful. We're telling the story of Martinelli's, which has long been a fixture in Santa Cruz County. I'm finding out a lot of information. I've wondered where have all the pippins gone? Now I know, and I might be able to fetch some of them. Let's open the phone lines. Actually, we should do a little commercial break, shouldn't we? Yeah, let's do that, because without commercials, there's no station.
The sun sets earlier, and the night air becomes colder.
Wow, that was
fun. Time again to supplement with extra light and warmth. Hello, Michael Olson here with the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club. The best way to add light and warmth to your winter evenings is with a fresh, ever-so-fragrant Lions Club Christmas tree. Lion Christmas trees, or Hanukkah bushes, as fellow Lion Arnie Levine calls them, will lift the spirits of your family and friends in ways no artificial, made-in-China, plastic, fantastic apparition could ever do. But don't take my word for it. Visit the Lions Club Christmas tree lot and see the magnificent Douglas, Grand, and Noble firs for yourself. And for a little extra warmth, know that 100% of the proceeds from your purchase of a lion tree will help your neighbors see and hear, and your youth grow into productive citizens. Pick up the spirits of your family and friends with a Christmas tree from the Santa Cruz Host Lions Club, now located at the Elks Club, Graham Hill and Jewel Street, across from the cemetery in Santa Cruz. Thank you, and happy holidays.
MZ here with Bo Magnuson, one of the owners of Magnuson Lexus.
Hey, Michael, how's your new Lexus hybrid?
I love it. It's almost as nice as that amazing new store of yours.
Thank you very much. What did you like best about the new store? Did you like the cappuccino bar, those massage chairs, and the Relaxus lounge, or how about the nail salon?
I forgot you had all those places. I think living in Santa Cruz, I like your mobile service and pickup and delivery service the best. I can't believe you guys came from Fremont to here in Santa Cruz.
The mobile service is pretty convenient. Sometimes I wonder, why do we build such a nice new dealership?
Yeah, who's got time to take the car in for service?
Especially with the holidays upon us. And if your listeners want a new or pre-owned Lexus and Magnuson's mobile service here in Santa Cruz, call us at 1-800-NEW-LEXUS or visit us online at maglexus.com.
What about Monterey County?
Wherever they are, we'll service their needs.
Serious? You'll go all the way to Monterey?
Yeah.
And Carmel and Pebble Beach?
Yeah.
And Fresno?
Yeah.
Why do you guys have grown so large? Magnuson Lexus of Fremont, just off Highway 880 at the Auto Mall Parkway. You know how every now and then you finally stop by a place that you've been meaning to check out for years and you're astounded by what you discover? Well, J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store is such a place. It's located on Highway 1 just north of the Moss Landing Power Plant. I zoomed past the place literally hundreds of times before I decided to stop and go inside. And when I did, wow, what a place! J&S has all kinds of cool military stuff, including wonderful warm clothing and unique holiday gifts you won't find anyplace else. The staff is happy and helpful. There's no pressure to buy anything, and nobody's going to hover over you or otherwise annoy you. You'll find all kinds of useful stuff at J&S Surplus, including a basic line of longevity health products, including Killer Biotic, OxyBody, OPTC, Mineral Caps, Colloidal Silver, and much more to help you keep healthy during the upcoming cold and flu season. In-stock preventive supplements are reason enough to visit J&S Surplus, but take my advice and visit the place to see for yourself what you've been missing. J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store, Highway 1 at Struve Road, just north of the Moss Landing Power Plant. Call 724-0588. When you visit, tell them MZ from KSCO sent you.
If you're planning an office party, a holiday gathering, or a New Year's celebration, remember, for a safe, fun, and festive way to celebrate the holidays, have plenty of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider on hand. Martinelli's, in the traditional champagne bottle, is the perfect choice for your holiday gatherings. It has all the elegance and sparkle of champagne, but without the alcohol. And you know, Martinelli's has the best flavor because it's made only from U.S.-grown fresh apples, not from foreign concentrate like most other brands. Martinelli's looks great, tastes great, and complements all your favorite foods, from party snacks and buffets to holiday dinners. Martinelli's, fun, festive, and non-alcoholic. Enjoy the original, Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider, a family tradition since 1868.
This is Stephen Martinelli. I'm here with my son, John, the fourth generation president of our family's 140-year-old cider company.
All of us at Martinelli's wish you a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
I feel awful. I feel awful.
You don't care, but I feel awful. I mean, we've been carrying that spot for the last week or two. And it says you're president, and I say you're manager in the promo.
Nobody cares.
All right. Okay, good. I just like to get it. That's one of the things about KSCO. We have the finest technical difficulties of any radio station in the world, but we also have the finest inaccuracies also. So. Anyhow, it's, 16 minutes before 11 a.m.
on AM 1080 KSCO. Finally, a voice for everyone. Wow, I haven't used that slogan in 15 years. Where did that come from? But it is finally a voice for everyone. Mm-hmm. Everybody who wants to take advantage of this talk radio station and have their voice heard over 10,000 watts that has the range of a 50,000-watt station. You can hear us from north of Sacramento to south of Bakersfield in the daytime. All you got to do is call us up. And you probably want to call today and ask John Martinelli a question about apples or about groundwater. We can talk about that.
We can talk about groundwater.
We can talk about anything you want by calling 479-1080. If you're outside of the 831 area code, you'll probably have to dial 831, unless you're dialing with an 831 cell phone. If you're did you know that if you were in New York City right now with your cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I was going to say all you had to do is dial the phone number without the area code. That's not true. But if you're in San Francisco, which is outside of the area code,
right,
and you have your 831 area code cell phone, like I do all the time, all you do is dial the 7-digit number. You don't need to dial the area code.
Oh, really? I always dial the area code.
If you're in the same, you know, if you're in the same general, what do you call it, service area or something. Now, if you go into Sacramento, which is a different cell service, or Reno or Tahoe or something, then you will have to dial it.
Yeah, that whole technology is inconceivable. how satellites know where we are all the time.
I know.
And now I guess they're going to be able to track us. My wife's going to know where I am. As long as I carry this phone around, she's going to know where I am.
This is good. This is a good tethering
device.
It's
a good thing I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Right. 479-1080 if you want to give us a call. Paul in Carmel Valley has been waiting for 14 minutes and 28, 29, 30 seconds. So you get to go on first, Paul, with MZ and John.
Good morning. I don't know if your guest was familiar with a fascinating story that came out in the local section of the Monterey County Herald this morning. Apparently, there is a tree up on a property near Tassajara Hot Spring, an apple tree, which has a pink flesh interior. Apparently, Andrew Weil, the health guru, used to live in Carmel Valley, and he mentioned this apple in a luncheon one time, and a representative from Earthbound Farm was there who started investigating it and apparently ended up going on this person's property while she was in the hospital and taking cuttings from this tree.
Hmm.
And Earthbound Farms now has an orchard of 150 of these trees.
Is it a pink lady? What is it?
I don't know, but apparently, well, there's litigation over this, over intellectual property.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and I don't know if your guest is familiar with this type of an apple, but apparently very rare. Apparently the tree was 75 years old. But Monterey Herald Online, you should see the story. It's really quite
it's
intriguing.
It's today?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, great.
Yeah, I missed that. It could be a pink lady. That there's a very popular variety called a pink lady that's becoming more popular now, that has a pink, almost reddish flesh in there. And it could be one of the heirloom, you know, ancestors or whatever of that apple. Apples, there are probably, I think I've heard more than 2,000 apple varieties that are out there. And in fact, the Prividelli's and the Silva's in Watsonville have a lot of those heirloom apple varieties. And they would be the resource that I would use to identify something like that.
Apparently, this person from Earthbound has admitted to going on this property, but he said that he left his card on the apple tree and was never given a call back. So check out the story. It's fascinating.
Huh, it really, really sounds great.
Thank you, right, Carmel Valley Paul, for your call to the KSCO Saturday special. Carl and Capitola, you're next on KSCO AM 1080 with John Martinelli and MZ.
Thanks, MC. What a great show. This is perfect with the local flavor and the historical, and then also for the holidays, because we always buy a lot of Martinelli's for the holidays.
Great. Thanks, Carl.
Hey, I wanted to say a couple things, some great positives. As I understand it, I think, like, the apple juice you get in the stores, 80% of that is from China.
Oh boy, you're gonna get me going on that subject. It's true. Sad, but true.
80%?
Not quite 80%. But easily over half the apple juice that's bottled in this country is coming from China, and Mostly foreign ingredients. I think 23% last time I checked of the apple juice in this country is actually coming from the United States anymore.
And it's not labeled, so you don't know. But I love your product. I mean, in fact, not only do you not add water, you got the juice as God made it. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, well, thank
you. And then also, too, I got a friend that used to work for you years ago, and he just had so many wonderful things to say about working for you. I haven't had very many people I've known that have just talked about their boss in glowing ways. So
that's really great. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And like I said, when we were talking earlier about the people, it is all about the people, but that's the hardest part. But in the end, it's the most rewarding if you can get everybody focused on the same goals. And who was that?
That is Lawrence Martinez.
Uh-huh.
He's moved to Texas, but he really enjoyed working there.
Yeah, he was a mechanic, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
I remember him.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And then I got a question, too, for you. I know that some of the tires at Costco that are labeled Michelin are made different than normal Michelins. I've talked to friends that have worked in food products, and they say when we make stuff for Costco, we use a different quality, like lower oils or quality oils and so on. Is there any difference on the Costco product that Martinelli's makes?
Absolutely none.
Okay.
None. In fact, all of our juices are all the same. Every single package that goes out there, the basic apple varieties and the blend and everything that goes into it is exactly the same.
Thanks very much. Have a wonderful Christmas.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl, for your call to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and John Martinelli. Hey, getting back to the pricing, you know, and the profile of the typical Martinelli's customer that you think might be changing, or you maybe didn't realize that the Walmart customer would be a great Martinelli customer. Might something have to do with supply and demand? Because I've noticed that during the year, you don't make the product any differently during the holiday than you do during the rest of the year, right? Mm-hmm. But during the holidays, there seems to be such a supply of the stuff that the prices are quite a bit lower, at least in some of the places. And I presume Walmart would be one of those places because they're famous for low prices.
Right. During the holidays, we discount our sparkling cider about 15%. It's a pretty big...
Only 15%? Because what I've seen... You know, sometimes it seems like it's almost half of what it is during. Maybe I'm dreaming. But.
Well, and then what'll happen is like some of the big retailers, like a Long's drugstore, for example, will run a 2 for $3, which is below cost.
I see.
And they do that because they've traditionally used our sparkling cider during the holidays as a main feature. You'll notice it's on a display as soon as you walk in the door, and that draws people into the store, and then they buy other things.
We sell it below cost, but we make it up in volume.
I know, but boy, they sure make Costco upset.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, the thing is, we have one price list. Everybody pays the same price. If you can buy a truckload or 100 truckloads, you get the same price. And we really believe that that's the ethical way of doing business.
Yeah.
Consequently, when someone like that discounts and sells something at a loss leader below cost, then your other retailers are, you know, think that we're doing something different for them.
Right, right.
And it's just not true. They are literally taking a loss selling our product because they use it as a come on to people to come in the stores.
I love that expression. It tickles me so much. We sell it below cost, but we make it up in volume.
Yeah.
If you're really selling it below cost and your volume is going way, way up, you're getting further behind the eight ball.
Well, but they're selling other things that they're making a profit on.
But we make it up in volume of other things.
Of other things.
Now it makes sense.
Right.
So I can't use that joke anymore. I used to use that joke a lot and look at people to see their reaction. Like, you know, like looking at people to see their reaction. I give my right arm to be ambidextrous. You know, stuff like that.
Or 100,000 times zero is still zero.
Anyhow, we're talking with John Martinelli. We're going to be on until noontime. We've got 7 minutes left in hour number one. Give us a call if you want to talk to John. 479-1080 in area 831. Serial faxer must have a fax for us, you know, 475-2967 if you want to fax us. Or if you want to email, I haven't even opened my email, but I'll do that. I promise I'll do that during the break. mz@ksco.com. Okay, let's see. Doug from Monterey Bay Conservancy. No. Rory in Watsonville called just 3 seconds before Doug did, so he gets to be on first. But don't go away, Doug in Monterey. We'll come to you next. Go ahead, Rory. You're on.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call, Michael.
Morning, Rory.
Good morning, John. Hey, this is a great story. It shows the resiliency of agriculture in the Central Coast, in particular the Pajaro Valley. And so I'm encouraged by that, and I knew some of the story that John told. The other thing is, John, isn't it true that that Newtown Pippin only really grows along the coastal regions, kind of like the strawberry? Doesn't do well inland?
Exactly. Yeah, that's absolutely true. We've tried to get growers to grow them out in the Central Valley and even up in Sebastopol, and it just doesn't work. I mean, that apple.
Even in Sebastopol.
Even in Sebastopol. It's just that it gets too hot in the summer. And, and that apple doesn't grow a lot of leaves. And so the apples burn and, it just doesn't do well there. But our little cool coastal climate is ideally suited for the pippin. And they did that. The Oregon, the Hood River area had some, pippin industry, but the apple just didn't taste the same.
Interesting.
Something about our climate and our soil conditions that make
other,
that.
Are there other pippin apples besides Newtown?
There are some, but they're all the traditional heirloom old apples, the Cox's orange pippin, and there are others that were grown in England for cider making, for hard cider making. But they were much more tart than the Newtown Pippin seems to be.
Oh, I like tart. The tarter, the better. The sourer, the better for MZ. But I got to talk to you about that.
But they've been in America for 200 years.
Where?
The Newtown has.
Uh-huh. Oh, the Newtown. But that's not sourer. I mean, that's not less, that's...
Well, that's probably the only one you've eaten, Michael.
It's probably true, huh?
Yeah,
well, if I could get a sourer, but that had some sweetness to it. People say that the Granny Smiths are tart. They're not tart. They're maybe a tiny little bit tart, but there's no sweetness at all.
Well, there's no apple flavor. That's the problem with the Granny, is it doesn't have the apple character. Now, if you like tartar pippins, you just pick them a little earlier.
Oh, okay.
That's all you have to do.
So they're green. Okay. Hey, thanks very much, Rory.
Thank you, gentlemen. Take
okay,
care.
Rory.
Here's Doug in Monterey. You're on with John and MZ.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Doug Beach, Monterey Bay Conservancy.
Oh.
And hi, MZ. How you doing?
How you doing, John? Doug, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm a water policy think tank, but I'd really like to thank Mr. Martinelli for the excellent product that he makes and keeping hello.
Yeah, we're here.
And keeping the apple industry alive in the Pajaro Valley has been reduced so much by so many orchards being taken out and being supplanted by strawberry production. And I was gonna Mr. Martinelli, your apples are all American apples, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, because I was going to mention that too about just learning so much of our apple juice comes from concentrate in China, and that would be I always have drank your product and I assumed that, but I think you should really market it more that way so people know that, because with all the bad products coming out of China, and you have such a great product, and I don't think people are really aware of that.
No, I know, and this is something that we're emphasizing on our label now, and in fact in the next year. You're going to be seeing on the principal display of every package, 100% juice from U.S. grown fresh apples is written in red, right across the principal display, right under the name of the product.
Made in USA.
100% U.S. grown. See, really, we've kind of battled back and forth internally on the made in USA tag, is really not accurate, because a product can be made in the United States from foreign ingredients, and you can still say made in the USA.
Yeah, absolutely. You're
but
absolutely
when we
right.
say U.S. grown, that conjures up all of the feelings that we want our customer to have, that this product came from our soil, from our land, from our growers and our, farm workers.
And it doesn't matter what the definition of is.
Yeah. Well, I really so thank you for keeping it like apples going down there.
Doug, thanks for your call.
And also one other thing, you mentioned about, groundwater.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next hour.
It sounds like maybe he should call back on that.
Yeah, why don't you call back on that?
Well, I would like to very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll call back. Bye.
Definitely.
Okay.
Melissa Stone, the co-host of Radiance and Chocolate on Mondays at
12 AMC.
How are you, Melissa?
Good. How are you? I was wondering how you were doing.
Not so good.
Are you sore?
I'm so sore. I am so sore. It's just awful. But I know I'm going to feel better someday.
He's making it up. He looks fine.
Oh. Dad, did he tell you what he did on Thursday night?
No, I went to Melissa Stone's what do you call it? The balance workshop. The balance workshop, is that right?
It's a yoga thing?
Yeah. It's my yoga class.
The hot yoga. Is that hot yoga?
No, I don't.
No,
everybody's talking about hot yoga.
No, you'll pass away if you go to that. I'm not sure I'm happy. This first thing question I asked Melissa, do you have that Bikram thing? I've gone to one of those things and I almost died. I really did almost die.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
I got real close to the edge of death at Bikram, but I didn't get close to the edge of death. But it was really hard and my neck is really sore and I had no idea that I couldn't lift my head up 1 inch off the ground without it being, and it's much worse than I felt the other night. But I know I'm going to feel better someday soon. Is the clock, is it 11 o'clock?
You are going
to
feel
better. We got to go to the news, Melissa. Talk to you soon. Thank you very much. KSCO's
Fox News. Love the apple. Bye.
Thank you. And weather hitting Iowa. The Des Moines airport closed. A Chicago-bound jet sliding off a runway there. No one among the 44 on board hurt. But Bill Clinton canceled a campaign event in Iowa, and the so-called Heartland Forum may have some no-shows.
On the roads here in Iowa is that it's very slow going, maybe 35, 40 miles an hour, and that makes it more difficult for campaigns to get around. Iowa, a vast state. Rural state, 99 counties. Most of the events today located here in the Des Moines area. But even so, Barack Obama, because of the weather, has had to push his appearance at the Heartland Forum back about an hour, hour and 20 minutes.
Fox's Major Garrett trying to get around on the icy campaign trail. The whole Midwest, getting socked today or tomorrow. Up to 16 inches of snow forecast for parts of Minnesota. Leland Eisenberg is in the Rochester, New Hampshire lockup after his aborted hostage taking at the Hillary Clinton campaign office yesterday.
He will be arraigned. It'll be a video arraignment, on Monday about 1 p.m. at the Rochester District Court.
Police Captain Paul Callahan. Salon.com is reporting the 46-year-old Eisenberg filed a lawsuit in 2002 alleging he'd been molested by a Catholic priest in Massachusetts in the early 80s, and he appears to have served prison time for aggravated rape. Unpremeditated murder, that's what three of the four suspects in the death of the NFL's Sean Taylor are being charged with.
Sean Taylor was shot Monday at his home in an upscale Miami suburb during what authorities say appeared to be an attempted robbery.
Our investigation also revealed that these individuals were under the assumption that residence was vacant and that Mr. Taylor or no one else was in the residence.
Miami-Dade Police Director Robert Parker, a public viewing for Taylor is Sunday in Miami. The entire Redskins organization plans to fly to Florida to attend Monday's funeral.
That's Fox's Bill Vitka. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
From the soundtrack of your life.
Thanks to Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett is a true TV legend, and this song ushered in her weekly series from 1967 to 1978. The theme was written by her producer husband, Joe Hamilton.
This is Fox News Talk.
President Bush tweaking Congress in his radio speech today, delivering a whole laundry list of bills and budgets that he says need to be passed before Christmas, including an intelligence bill.
Congress must take action now to keep the intelligence gaps closed and make certain our national security professionals do not lose a critical tool for keeping America safe.
Democrats talked future. Colorado Governor Bill Ritter pushing the whole crop of...
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. The time is 11:03, and we have a traffic update for you. Northbound Highway 17 at Granite Creek Road. On the Santa Cruz side of Highway 17, we have a traffic hazard, and this is a big rig stopped in the slow lane. That is bound to slow down traffic. We have another incident on Highway 17, and this is southbound Highway 17, just north of the Lexington Reservoir. A traffic hazard reported at 10:58, and this is a Christmas tree in the number one lane. If you see something that needs to be reported, give me a call here at the station, 475-1080. Just a reminder, it has started sprinkling and the roads will most likely be wet, so you need to slow it down. Stay safe.
Possibility for these rare occasions when you have these mixed earthquakes,
two or more quakes that are a few seconds apart,
quality control factors will kick in and then will be backfilled by other seismic monitoring networks.
But that would delay information getting out. They're in a tight spot. The other option is to tell people about quakes that don't happen, needlessly scaring. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
The U.S. meeting with the other permanent members of the U.N. Security Council in Paris today. The group considering the next step in the Iran nuclear saga, reportedly planning to push for another sanctions resolution soon. Big doing in Farmington, Maine today, honoring its native son, Chester Greenwood. He invented earmuffs. There's a parade today marking the 130th anniversary of the earmuff patent, the 70th anniversary of Greenwood's death, and the 30th anniversary of Chester Greenwood Day. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, December 1st, 2007. Today's forecast calls for a 20% chance of showers along with partly cloudy conditions. You can expect highs to be around 55 degrees with winds northwest between 7 and 13 miles per hour. Tonight calls for mostly clear conditions with lows around 40 degrees. And tomorrow should be mostly sunny with highs near 60 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, west winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves 2 to 3 feet, and the west swell 4 to 6 feet at 14 seconds. Outside the studios, it is now 50 degrees. The time is 11:06, and it's time for hour number 2 of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
It's Christmas early today, or for me, Dave.
Why is that?
I received not one, but 2 gifts. And they're very precious gifts. They're gifts that I appreciate from the bottom of my heart.
Can you share them?
Yeah. Well, I can share. I can share with, you know, what they are. Oh, you mean you mean to eat them?
He wants
He wants some. Yeah, sure. That's, yeah, of course we can do that. One of them is an advanced bottle of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Apple Mango.
Now that sounds good.
100% juice. Now when is this going to be in the stores, John?
Getting distribution on new items is very difficult.
Why? Why? You just go to the same place and just say, here's another.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's way harder than that. When you go to a major chain and you want to put a new product in distribution, they expect you to pay them as much as $100 a store to put one new product on the shelf. And if it doesn't sell well enough in 90 days, it's gone and you don't get anything back. It's tough. New distribution for a company like us that doesn't have a lot of capital to push new items, we have to take it slowly one step at a time. So right now, Raley's is carrying this.
Oh, Knob so you Hill. Can't get this. Yeah, You actually can get this in some stores.
Right.
In this case, in the case around here.
Right, and I think they have our pomegranate, too.
Wow.
So okay. Those are the two hot new flavors that we have that we're getting a lot of interest.
So that's one of my presents today, an early Christmas present or early Hanukkah present, whatever. Thank you very much, John Martinelli, because that was presented to me from you. Thank you. And a special thank you to Carol Stafford, who she is such a sweetheart. She is such a
sweetheart. Blowing you kisses.
She actually, she listened to last hour. She heard that I like pippin apples and that was very hard to find a pippin apple. She went and found not one, not two, but 3 very large pippin apples and brought them to me in the studio. And I've already consumed one. And you looked at, you're an apple expert and you said, yep, these are the same apples that we use.
It's authentic.
And, yeah. It's the real thing.
Natural. Grown in Watsonville, unwaxed. It looks beautiful. It's got that nice, you know, russet on the top that makes it not look so attractive, which is why the Granny Smith took over.
Russet? Is that what that means?
That's what that's called. It's this kind of a scabby-looking skin on the top, and that's just natural. It's just the way it's made.
And Granny Smiths have that rubbed off?
They
have it genetically removed?
It just is genetically not part of the apple.
I like russet apples.
Russet. Anyway.
Gee, and then I wonder if they have like russet potato fries. Do they have apple?
Well, you know, you mentioned that. I mean, it's a lot like that.
Yeah.
It's like a potato skin texture.
It is. And so now I know where the void comes from. I loined a new void today. have we We haven't even opened Saturday.
We haven't. You've been so excited.
I am so excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm going to remain excited for the remainder of the program. I can tell. By the way, I always announce this at the end of the program when I'm talking so fast, trying to get things in before the alligator, you know, chomps us with the Fox News at the top of the hour. I'm going to say it slowly and deliberately now. If you want to hear this program on demand, if you're missing this program right now, if the program that you're listening to, you're not hearing because you're missing it. Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense.
Maybe if they want to hear it again.
Yeah. Or if you want to hear it again, or if you want somebody else to hear it who should hear it, all you have to do is type in any browser connected to the internet connection. It should be a broadband connection, probably.
Mm-hmm.
It might work with dial-up, but I doubt it. SaturdaySpecial.com, www.SaturdaySpecial.com. And what will happen is the last Saturday special will start playing. It'll start streaming on your computer anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, for the next week. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to happen until, you know, I get around to, I mean, when I get around to uploading it. The owner of the station's got to do.
Do you actually do that yourself?
I do it myself when I get around to it, and I've got a very important meeting with a very important couple of people this after, you know, right after the show today. So I won't be able to upload this one until probably 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock tonight at the earliest. But we're also going to replay this show this evening between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. And I'm sorry if people who don't like Art Bell's show to be interrupted for the damn Saturday special rerun, but that's the way it is because I still own this place for a while, and I got to have some fun, you know? I got to have some fun while I can still have it, okay? The only thing that might happen is if the computers went down and it didn't grab this 2 hours, then
we'll just have to do it again.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dave, we have a tape running just in case, if it works.
We do have two tapes running.
All right, good. Yeah, he will back up and back up to the backup and back up to the backup.
Dave's good.
Okay, 479-1080. No, we still have to open. Why am I so disorganized? Let's just do it.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
All right, we're going to have, if you liked hour number one, you're going to love hour number two. How do I know that? I have a crystal ball.
Sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
I've been wondering for years what that lady looks and sounds like now. She recorded that in the 40s or the 50s. Mm-hmm. And if she's even still alive, Serial Faxer sent a great fax a year or two ago that had a very prune-faced old lady, you know, and so she said, "Yes, MZ, it's me, and I listen to you all the time."
Really?
Well, it was probably the funniest Serial Faxer cartoon that's ever been sent, and damn it, I lost it. If you have it, Serial, and if you're listening, please refax it. I'm going to give you my personal, that no one else has, e-fax. It goes right into my email, okay?
You're doing this on the radio now?
I'm going to do this for Serial.
So that means everybody's
Everybody else has to tune out, okay? Do not just tune out for the next 10 seconds. Okay, ready, Serial? It's 425-3090. Did I make a terrible mistake just now?
No, and then now everybody's turning it back on supposed to.
All right, fine. I might have to change that phone number if I start getting a lot of, you know, what do you call it, crank faxes.
I can't believe you still get faxes. I thought everything was on email now.
It is. But this is email. I mean, I refuse to. We have a fax up front here, but this is an e-fax.
Okay.
So I can easily forward it and stuff like that. And you know what I use? I don't even use a scanner. I don't have a scanner in my office. I just...
You probably just take a picture or something?
No, what I do is if there's something that I want to scan, I have an old, you know, fax machine.
Right.
And I fax it to myself at 425-3090, and that acts as the scan. Then a few seconds later, I get this email that has this TIFF in it
that I could
switch over. So you don't need to buy one of these scanner things. I guess you do if you want to scan it in color.
Right.
I guess. Anyhow, we're talking with John Martinelli, and he's the president of S. Martinelli. it's Martinelli's, you know. Is it? Somewhere I've seen it, S. Martinelli and Company. What is it?
That's the name of our company. Martinelli's Gold Medal is the brand.
Okay, gotcha. And it's not every day we have John here in the studio for you to speak with. And we invite you to call us at 479-1080 in area 831. We invite you to fax us at 475-2967. But if you fax us, be sure to call us on our business line, 475-1080. And alert our pilot in command that he needs to run up front to get your fax, or else it'll just sit there for a few hours or maybe a few days. But we're going to continue with the program right up until noontime. Who's next? Mike in Santa Cruz, Family Businesses. You're on, Mike. Welcome to KSCO.
Good morning. The one point I wanted to mention that I'm a little bit in awe of is I think it's far more difficult to keep a family business going with the egos involved. Then it's pretty easy to gloss over it and just say it's been around a long time. And I'm very impressed how long they've been in business and been able to pull it off. In my own family, you know, where everyone's done quite well. I have a pretty big family, but we could no more run a family than be the man on the moon. I don't think the personalities would work. And
you're talking about running a family business.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It sounds like you have run a family, however dysfunctional it may be.
Even in your own situation, Michael, you have family to deal with, and when business and family get mixed, there aren't that many successes.
Yeah, but see, okay, this is going to sound awful. We have a family that gets along, thank God, you know, but very, very cooperative family, and I can run the show exactly the way I want legally, but I would never do that if it was something that my mother or brother were, you know, violently against or something. There was no way in the world I would do that. So yeah, I mean, there's a question of having to work. The only way that a family business can work is if the family members understand that they have to work harmoniously one way or another.
Yeah, you know? and putting the ego aside sometimes isn't always easy for everyone.
Especially when you're in the radio business, because the radio business is dripping with ego more than any business in the world, I think. So anyhow, good point. So
I just want to say congratulations. I hope you can continue it, because that's how companies stay special. And it's not easy to do.
Well, thank you. You know, we recognize that we're extremely unique, and if we can make it to the fifth generation, that's in America close to a record.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and anyway, so I've got four kids, and 18, 16, is Philip 16? I think he is, and 11 and 8. So I know I'm going to be at this for a lot longer, because they're all still in school. But, you know, that is one of the motivators for me, and one of the reasons that, you know, I'm still in there slugging and working hard at it and trying to keep the business going. And at least my kids will have an opportunity to try to be involved in it. Now, the thing is they're going to have to be qualified. And I think that's what really makes the difference. And what hurts family businesses, if they bring family members in just because they're family.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have to fit. They have to be qualified. They've got to be producers. And you cannot rest on your laurels. I mean, I've worked like heck.
Well, your kids aren't quite old enough, but do you see one or more of them working in the business at some time?
Actually, it's interesting. People ask me that question. Right now, it's looking like my third, who's Louie. Louis was named after my great grandfather's oldest brother, who was the apple farmer, and also my wife's uncle Lou, who was a priest who married us, and he's the one who will tell his teachers, "I want to be an apple man like my dad."
Ooh.
And I so we'll see. I mean, it's really it's up for grabs, and I hope one of the four of them is interested, and if they all are, then that's even better.
Well, good luck.
And I also have cousins that are, have as much of an opportunity, and so far nobody's expressed an interest, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay, thanks for the call, Santa Cruz, Mike in Santa Cruz. That opens up a line at 479-1080. Give us a call here at KSCO AM 1080, your favorite radio station. John Martinelli and MZ on the Saturday special today, right up until noontime, about 41 minutes from now. Our next caller will be none other than our own ambassador of the New World Order. Looking for a Russian apple, needs John's help. Cyril, you're on.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hey.
John, you were talking about apples, and there is one apple that variety that I remember from Russia. It's a very late fall apple. It's called Antonov. I don't know if you're familiar with that, and is it grown anywhere here? Although I come from the area that is on the 60 degrees north latitude, so that's approaching
there.
It's approaching Alaska. It's
right.
Anchorage, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Same. But the climate is not as harsh there as in Alaska. So, and it's very late fall. And it's very hard. You can actually probably kill with that thing. It's so hard.
Like a rock.
It is like a rock. Very flavorful, incredibly flavorful, and very tart. That's the
Now I'm interested.
Right, now all of a sudden you're interested.
Yes, and one of the classic applications of that is stuffing that apple into a goose or a duck.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of cranberries. So that gives you an indication how tart it is. So
wow.
Cyril, you
got to get me one. I don't care. John will help you if he can, but if he can't, you got to get me.
Well, I would recommend that you call the Prividelis. I mean, they really, I think, are the resident experts on the heirloom apple varieties, and they've got I think the paper said the other day 140 or something different varieties.
Really?
And if they don't have it, they probably know about it.
That's interesting. Okay.
And you should be able to find them in the phone book.
Spell it.
I can't.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Prividelli.
I can't.
Okay.
Start with a P.
I'll be looking for it.
Vincent and I.
Thanks.
Okay, right, sir. Have a good one.
All right.
Let's see. Who's next? Krishna in Santa Cruz.
Michael.
How you be?
I be very fine.
Good.
But I have to do something about you lusting after that woman for 20 years now and not knowing what she looks like.
Yeah. Do you?
I know. I have a very good idea. But I don't want to spoil your fantasy, which I absolutely don't believe you don't know what she looks like.
Yeah. No, I don't.
You are lying.
I don't.
Anyway.
That same woman was singing that song when I was 5 years old.
You have a picture of her on the wall.
When you were five.
Huh?
Listen, Michael, you know what she looks like?
What?
Have you watched Mad Men on TV on Bravo?
No.
About this advertising firm? Darn it, you don't watch TV.
I only watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and O'Reilly and Hannity and Combs sometimes.
Okay. Well, anyway, she's, of course, a 50s woman, blonde, with wavy hair, wears clunky gold jewelry, perfectly made up, the only way an American woman can be made up, with a flouncy skirt.
Wow.
Now,
you could be right.
You go on from there. You add whatever you want to it to keep you busy for the rest of the time you're alive.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to ask a question. I have Martinelli's for holidays always for anyone who doesn't drink.
Mm-hmm.
Children especially love it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask Mr. Martinelli if he has ever drunk apple cider from Brittany in France.
I have. You mean the non-alcoholic sparkling cider?
It's not sparkling.
Okay.
It doesn't sparkle, but it's very fermented. It's almost alcoholic.
So it's hard cider.
It's hard cider.
It's hard cider, but it's kind of soupy.
Huh.
But you eat it with crepes. It's marvelous. The smell is in your nostril the whole meal.
Is it available in our county?
No, I've not seen it here at all.
Because I've not had it. There are a couple of French sparkling ciders that try to compete with us. And their product is made primarily from a Granny Smith type apple. It's very tart. And not quite
really
as
flavorful. I really like it. It's French crepes. Just tastes wonderful. Oh. The smell is wonderful. But that's the hardest I can drink because I don't drink. And that's the question I had for you. And I wanted to know something else. When people say flavor on the bottle, what are they talking about? Is it the real fruit or is it some artificial smell of the real thing?
If they say natural flavors, it's the real fruit. It's extracted from the fruit. And it's almost condensed down to a perfume-like quality, and a few drops goes a long way.
It's like the vanilla extract I use for cooking.
Exactly.
Huh.
Exactly. And some fruits are such soft in flavor that they need to have some natural flavor added to them. We do have a drop of natural flavor in the mango, for example, which really brings out the fruitiness of it.
So when you say natural flavor and the extract is natural too, isn't it?
I believe that's true.
So when you say natural flavor, it gets confusing because flavor is natural. The whole thing is natural.
It's derived from natural, right. It's not a chemical.
Okay.
It's it's derived from the fruit.
So you have to say natural flavor if it's from the fruit rather than an artificial
exactly.
smell.
Exactly.
So when folks say fruit flavored or whatever, it may not be natural flavor.
I would only say if it says natural flavor, it's from the fruit. If they just say flavors, probably not.
Bulletin.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And congratulations, and may you prosper till all your four kids are very, very old.
Thank you very much.
But not beyond that. No, much beyond that, of course.
Maybe.
All right. Thank you, Krishna. 11:25 on AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ and John Martinelli. Call us at 479-1080. Fax us at 475-2967. Email us at mz@ksco.com. I guess I lied. I didn't open my email box during the break. I was afraid that there would be no emails.
So are you opening it now?
No.
Okay.
Maybe later.
Well, let's talk about apple flavors, because, you know, one of the things that I think is unique about the apple is that it has so many different varieties with such different flavor characteristics, from very sweet to very tart and everything in between. Mm-hmm. What other fruits do that?
I'll be honest with
you. How about bananas? No.
I don't know. I don't think there is another fruit.
Right? Even berries, they have...
Avocados, well, they're sort of... There's buttery
avocados.
But
the wide variety of flavors,
yeah,
that's
right,
kind of
right.
unique to the apple.
You're right.
Maybe grapes.
Yeah, of course.
Right, wine grapes.
I am going to try to open the... But I have to find it first. I have to find my email. All right, if you want to call us at 479-1080, here's the bulletin, okay? This is especially for John, my guest today, and for Cyril, and for all of you who want to eavesdrop. Previdelli Farms, Prevideli, has a spot at Famer's Market at Aptos Capital. I mean, that must be Farmer's Market. And that's today, right up until noontime. So you don't have to stop listening to the Saturday special, because if your car is like mine, it has an AM radio in it. And you can listen to the Saturday special and hightail it over to Cabrillo College, where the Saturday farmer's market is, and ask where the Previdelli Farms booth is, or mm-hmm. exhibit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can probably get just what you want, Cyril, or at least get a line on where to get it. Okay. Now... next caller will be our good friend from last hour, Doug Dietz, Monterey Bay Conservancy. Are you the Doug Dietz I know?
Yeah, from way back at the
Gray
Hotel.
Yeah.
Dietz.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's right. That was another world back then.
It sure was, yeah. So anyhow, yeah, when you said Doug, I didn't know that it was you. Anyhow, we want to talk about groundwater recharge, do we, on the apple, on the Martinelli's thing?
Well, you know, I think it's a great subject.
Before we say anything, I thought I saw a news clipping that Pajaro Valley water management agency had its wrist slapped legally in court, saying they got to return a bunch of money that they extracted from people like me who live in the area.
Right.
Is this true?
It is true.
God damn.
Well, I mean, you know, and the thing is, I have to be real careful here on this subject because it's a very hot issue in our valley, and the people are generally on one side of the fence or the other. Generally, the people along the coast are the ones that are having the saltwater intrusion, and you know, they're very interested in trying to find another source of fresh water for farming. And then, you know, the folks that are farming against the hillsides don't have that problem, and you know, they don't want to be charged for the extra cost of importing water or developing other local water resources. You know, we're trying to have a tertiary treatment of the wastewater so that can be blended with fresh water to extend the water
right.
that we have locally, and get, you know, be able to use it twice, which is a great idea. It's costly though, and then you've got people that are, you know, like us that are kind of in the middle of the whole issue. We have friends on both sides of the fence, and you know, most of our apple growers are up in the hills, so they're against the pipelines and the alternate water sources, and so I have to be very careful about, you know, how I approach this subject and exactly what we talk about. But the reality is, we're using more water than we have, and we are getting saltwater intrusion. I think everybody agrees with that, and we're very concerned about the long run, the long range feasibility of growing the crops that we're growing in the Pajaro Valley right now, because some of the crops are way more water intensive than the traditional crops that we grew here. And the apples are one of those that is a water miser. I mean, they use less than 1 acre foot irrigating apples. And some of the other crops, I guess I have to say the berries, use 3 to 4 acre feet, and that is part of the problem that we're having. And so, you know, we obviously are encouraging our growers to stay in the business of growing apples. We rely on them completely, but at the same time, I think the Pajaro Valley is going to benefit from having the 2,500 or whatever acres that we have left in apples staying that way, because if they were to convert over to some of these other crops, it would just hasten the saltwater intrusion and the overdraft condition. So this is something that is people are dancing around this issue. You know, I've been going to the forums, and some of my close friends are on the Water Management Agency board, and they're working very hard on a solution. But ultimately, we are going to have to talk about conservation in this county, and I know that people don't want to do that, but if we don't stop using as much water as we are, we're going to get to a point where we're not going to have a choice.
Well, so what about...
And so what happened was the court found that the fee that was being charged, they were charging $80 an acre foot to anybody who was drawing water out of the basin, was going to the Water Management Agency to fund water reclamation projects and pipelines and all that kind of stuff. And then they added another 80. It went to 160 or whatever that is. And with the prospect to adding another $80 maybe this year or next year. I'm not real sure on the facts on that. But what happened was the court said that was not a fee, it was a tax.
Right.
If it's a tax, it's subject to a 216 vote.
Right.
218, 216, 218. Whatever it is.
Two thirds.
It's a 2/3 vote.
Yeah.
And
of
the people.
And people said, I've done every year I get this bill because my home is in mid county area. It's not in Watsonville, although I do have a 95076 zip code.
Mm-hmm.
My home is I have water service from my own personally owned well that I don't share with anybody.
Right, but it's tapped into the same aquifer, right?
Correct. And so I get this bill every year from Pajaro Valley
Water Management Agency.
And when I first started getting this bill, it was like, you know, $70, and then it goes up, you know, $5 or $6 every year, and the last time was like $95 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just paid it a while back, and every year I get on the radio and I say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, I mean, when you have your well, you own the money. unless you specifically purchased your property sans or without water rights, without exclusive water rights, you have exclusive water rights. And who the hell is this government agency to come and say that you got to pay me some sort of a tax or some sort of a fee or some sort of a water management consulting thing so that we can have a fund? It really burned me up.
But they're empowered by the state. See, the state required us to have an agency, ultimately, because they're the ultimate authority. And so the agency is doing the best it can to come up with a solution. But the problem is there's no way everybody's going to agree on the solution. Absolutely no way.
Can I chime in?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, we forgot you were over there.
We forgot about poor Doug.
This is Doug.
That's the longest I've ever shut up in my life. No one can deny that I'm a good listener.
All right. Well, you're good at it, and we're turning our microphones off.
But I will not be forgot. I think that John, if I may call you John, characterized, you know, generally pretty well. But I think that probably no one would be in a better position after having been in the Apple business for 140 years in the Pajaro Valley to attest to the amount of apple acres of apple orchards, thousands of apple acres of apple orchards that have been ripped up and turned into berry production.
Right.
And there's around 32,000 acres of ag lands in that Pajaro Valley.
Right, and I think 15 or 20,000 of it were in apples at one time, and during my era, it's gone from 10,000 to around 2,500.
Yeah, and I would add that those 2,500 acres of apple growers in that valley, I don't know if Mr. Jensen's still alive, but you know, these are the they should be given a tax credit or some type of incentive to, you know, stay in that, maybe pay no taxes. Because there's nothing better than to have an apple orchard, you know, for global warming, for lessen the amount of labor-intensive production we have around here. We have 20,000 undocumented people living in this community, and that's just around, you know, and they're here in great part to provide farm labor, and you know, which we need. We need to grow as much agricultural production here as we possibly can, which is sustainable. But we grow 25% of the berries for the whole country in the small Pajaro Valley. And in the Pajaro Valley, every year we are losing water resource, saltwater intrusion, 15,000 acre feet. To give you an idea of what that is, they're building a new desal plant in the city of Santa Cruz. Not the pilot plant, but the main plant. They operated that 24/7, 365. It would produce 2,000 acre feet a day. Cost of $50 million to build one plant. You'd have to build 7.5 of those plants every year at a cost of $350 million before operations and maintenance to keep up with the amount of water that we are essentially, I hate to say it, exporting, appropriating from our groundwater supply and putting in berry products. The Salinas Valley has a gross production of around $4 billion a year. The Pajaro Valley has a production of around $500 million. The resource loss in the Salinas Valley to saltwater intrusion is 9,000 acre feet against a $4 billion production. The resource loss in the Pajaro Valley is 50% worse, 15,000 acre feet against 1/8 of production. That's why when Mark Reisner, the late Mark Reisner, wrote Cadillac Desert.
Oh, that's a great book.
It was a four-part PBS series. That's why when he was here in 1998, in response to my question to him, because I wanted to get him on a record for saying that, he described the saltwater intrusion resource loss as the worst in the world. And it's continually gone on that way, documented, since 1998. But it happened before that. I could go on and on with these figures, but if you would be interested in learning more about this, you go to begentlewiththeearth.com.net or .org. Those are the websites for the groundwater emergency in Santa Cruz and the solution that Monterey Bay Conservancy, a water policy think tank, that's how I describe this, a nonprofit, has come up with.
So, Doug, what do you think is going to happen, in your opinion? I mean, do you think we would get a two-thirds vote to raise the tax? I don't think so either.
There's only the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency was essentially created in 1984 by one of the great local legislators of all time here, Senator Mello. And what that agency, the way it was set up by the state, was that in the first instance, it prioritized agriculture. In the second instance, it created a board that by its constituency was made up of, you know, pretty much agricultural interests. So the idea was that in that point in time that there was going to be enough water in California to bring water from somewhere else to this area. But, you know, with global warming, no snow melt, setting off the pumps in the Delta, if they build this pipeline, which is only, you know, bringing in a very, very, very small part, 13,000 acres of the 45,000 acre overdraft, very small part of it, you know, there's not going to be water maybe to put in that pipeline.
Right.
So,
and
the only solution is, just like the name of the website implies, be gentle with the earth. We have to figure out what is the proper, sustainable, economic model here and let agriculture produce as much as it possibly can, but not deplete and expropriate and export our water supply in the process.
See?
So that's going to mean that agriculture is going to have to cut back on a minimum 25%.
Okay, so how does that happen? I mean, is there a legal precedent for forcing landowners or growers to grow one particular kind of crop versus another one? Or is it done through incentives and reduced fees and that kind of thing? How is it done?
Well, the Monterey
the
Bay
latter is the way it should be done.
The Monterey Bay Conservancies Plan, which is not really the Monterey Bay Conservancies Plan, but is what the plan that was identified in the 1993 Basin Management Plan as the environmentally preferred alternative, is to, by using water revenue, buy and fallow and retire one quarter of the farmland in Pajaro, which is 8,000 coastal acres from Elkhorn's Blue to La Selva Beach, to acquire those in a regional, first of all, to repeal the Pajaro Valley Water Management Act. In 25 years, because it's outmoded in terms of what its objectives and board is, and there's no water to fulfill what would have happened in 84 possibly, but now it's 25 years later. And they failed, unfortunately, miserably to do anything in that 25-year period except for to expropriate around 200,000, 300,000 acre-feet of water and ship it out of here and bury. So that agency has to first be repealed, that act, and then a new regional effort, inter-county, inter-jurisdictional, inter-basin effort between Monterey, Santa Cruz, and San Benito counties has to be formed on a state basis. So this needs state legislation, and that's why we need a good person in that state legislature who's going to move this forward for us. But that's what has to happen. And if you want to see specifically how that would happen, if you go to MontereyBayConservancy.org or eGentleWithTheEarth.com.net or .org, it's all spelled out in there, and it can all be done with water revenue.
Doug, we need to do a program on this, obviously.
Oh, I did one with Michael
Olson.
And then there was another person who I remember had Nick got his real name. And also, I just did an hour TV show January 4th on Voices where I went through this whole thing. It's called, I call it Our Inconvenient Truth. Our Inconvenient Truth is that in the worst in the world, okay, our water supply is being taken out of our area because they're using 90%. Berry production uses 90%. We're on a 200% overdraft. We use around 70,000 acre feet, and the sustainable yield is 24,000. Okay, so and that's 90% berry. So if you were to get rid of every bit of human activity, every tourist, UCSD, every undocumented worker, every resident, every business, everything from Santa Cruz, everything, and left only berry production, then we'd only be a 100% overdraft. And people can complain about the city of Santa Cruz, UCSD growing. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're on.
UCSD, this is very interesting, I find. UCSD, after it expands up there on the hill, after it expands, will use less water than does 200 acres of strawberries.
Wow.
UCS uses around 500 acre feet of water. After they expand, that's 3 acres foot per acre. That's 200 acres of strawberries. That's how much water UCS is using in the city of supply. There's no water problem because of people. But how about this? The fifth biggest revenue generator for the UC system is the $5 million that they get every year, according to President Dines, from their intellectual property royalties on strawberry strains that they developed in the facility down there in Watsonville. So although they're not using much water, they're profiting by $5 million a year on the royalties. So they've aided, abetted, and are profiting from the oversubscription of groundwater in Pajaro.
Whoa, we're getting way out there, Doug.
But you know what? This is a hot topic. It's in the news every single day now. I read something about this in the news. So we're going to have to keep talking about it and work together. And this is where, you know, I hope we can work together as a community to solve this and it doesn't turn into a legal issue that costs millions of dollars and then we're basically told what we have to do 10 years from now when it's too late.
Right.
No, I think, Michael, I would happy. That's a very, because you have such a broad reach with your station.
Yeah. You know, shoot me an email, okay?
Okay, and the Howard Cosell / Nostradamus / Dalai Lama of Monterey Bay Water myself, because I tell it like it is.
Right.
Past, present, future facing Greek ignorance and, in the case of some elected officials, rudeness.
Shoot me an email with your phone number, okay?
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Hey,
and
thanks,
Doug. John, for that great business you have down there.
Great, thank you.
Okay, let's see. It's a quarter to noon. There's only 15 minutes left. We got Jan in Slam the River Valley. We got Kenny in Watsonville. We got Mick. Is it Mick or MK? Who is it? Well,
MK.
It's MK?
That's what it says.
Well, what does MK want to say?
MK?
Yeah, hi, MK.
Hi. Listen, I wanted to know something about the Mutsu apples.
Mutsu apples.
Yes, they're very sweet, but yet quite tidy, and it's a very good apple, and I haven't seen any of it, and it's quite large. It came out about the same time as the Fuji's.
Do you want to know something funny?
Yes.
I have two apple trees in my backyard, and one of them is a Mutsu.
Oh, really?
I absolutely love the apple. It's a fantastic apple.
Oh, I think so.
Very,
too.
Very Pippin-like. I think the problem that we have, it doesn't grow very well in our area. We get a thing called bitter pit, where you get these little black specks that go down into the flesh of the apple, and it's unappealing.
John.
And I think because of that, the Mutsu. Yes, sir.
How much would you charge MK to privately, off the air, give her your address and let her come and pick an apple?
Well, I'm sure she can find them out there. MK, you do find them occasionally, right, in the stores?
No, I haven't found any. There was a place that I used to get it, but then they discontinued that completely.
I'm sure the Prividelli's have them.
Prividelli's.
Absolutely sure. And the Lapanoviches have them in Watsonville, and they're around. We squeeze them when we get them.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's a great apple.
Oh, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mick, thanks for calling the Saturday special. MK, I'm sorry, but thanks for calling the Saturday special. We got to do a commercial break, so let's do that. Before we do that, I want to thank Dave Jackson for sending me a picture of the lady who sang the jingle that I like. You know, and it was a very nice picture. Yeah, that's about how she...
That's what she looks like.
Yeah, this is what she looks like now.
Wow.
And Dave Jackson would know because he is the curator of the Bay Area Radio Museum.
I'm sorry the listeners can't all see that.
Well,
is she hot?
We can put it up on the website.
She's hot.
Yeah, pretty hot. Now, I don't know when this picture was taken. It might have been taken in the 40s.
But is it digital?
It is a picture. Yeah, well, it came on the computer, so let's see if I can say, yeah. Email picture, save picture as. Sure, I could do that. We could probably put it on the website if people want to see it. But I would much rather have Serial resend the caricature. Jan and Slove and Kenny and Watson will be next right after the commercial break. Take it away, Dave.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Santa is coming to your favorite hardware and garden stores. Scarborough has become Santa's workshop, and he joins the fun this Saturday. Santa's first stop is noon until 2 at Scarborough Gardens and Hidden Treasures Gift Shop at 33 El Pueblo. Next, he'll be at Scarborough Ace Hardware in the Kings Village Center from
3 until 5 p.m. Come to either location in Scotts Valley for free refreshments and photos with Santa. And for Christmas ideas, come to Scarborough Gardens on El Pueblo and Scarborough Ace Hardware in the Kings Village Center, Scotts Valley, or the Scarborough Home Center on Highway 9 in Ben Lomond. From decorations to hardware, lights to trees, these Scarborough stores have it all for the holidays. And don't forget Santa. This Saturday at Scarborough Gardens Hidden Treasures and Scarborough Ace Hardware in Scotts Valley.
Scarborough Lumber and Building Supply.
MZ here with Bo Magnuson, one of the owners of Magnuson Lexus.
Hey, Michael, how's your new Lexus hybrid?
I love it. It's almost as nice as that amazing new store of yours.
Thank you very much. What did you like best about the new store? Did you like the cappuccino bar, those massage chairs, and the Relaxus lounge, or how about the nail salon?
I forgot you had all those places. I think living in Santa Cruz, I like your mobile service and pickup and delivery service the best. I can't believe you guys came from Fremont to here in Santa Cruz.
The mobile service is pretty convenient. Sometimes I wonder, why do we build such a nice new dealership?
Yeah, who's got time to take the car in for service?
Especially with the holidays upon us. And if your listeners want a new or pre-owned Lexus and Magnuson's mobile service here in Santa Cruz, call us at 1-800-NEW-LEXUS or visit us online at maglexus.com.
What about Monterey County?
Wherever they are, we'll service their needs.
Serious? You'll go all the way to Monterey?
Yeah.
And Carmel and Pebble Beach?
Yeah.
And Fresno?
Yeah.
Why do you guys have grown so large? Magnuson Lexus of Fremont, just off Highway 880 at the Auto Mall Parkway.
If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, then you need to listen to this message. If you're buying or selling real estate, you need the right realtor to represent you. That realtor is Randy Turnquist, a 36-year resident of Santa Cruz County that really knows the market. What is a good market? Randy will give you the facts and let you decide based on current market statistics. Many potential sellers or buyers don't think they need a realtor until they're ready to buy or sell. That is simply not the case. Buying or selling real estate is one of the biggest things you'll do in life. Don't wait until you need a realtor to shop for one. Start building that relationship now with Randy Turnquist Realtor. You can reach Randy at 1-888-496-9655 or go to www.ksco.com, look for the big yellow box and put in Realtor. You'll go directly to Randy's website. If you're looking to buy, here are a few of Randy's listings. Santa Cruz Gardens, 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, $739,000. 3-bedroom condo in Watsonville, $449,000. For more information on these properties or other properties, call Randy Turnquist Realtor at 1-888-496-9655.
Are we back? We're supposed to be back anyhow. Welcome back. 10 minutes before 12 noon. Here's Jan in Slv. Jan, you're on the air.
I am Jan.
Hey.
It's Martinelli. Before I go on to what I really called about, I want to, since the topic of water came up, I wanted to let you know about a great article in the Valley Post, October 23rd to the November 19th. The title is Rediscovering Rainwater. Rain harvesting comes of age again. And one of the statistics in there that he gives is that a 2,000 square foot roof generates about 30,000 gallons of water and 24 inches of rain.
Was that the guy that dug his own cistern by hand the other day? I read that in the paper yesterday.
I don't know. I think this is different because he's gone to rain harvesting managing workshops in Australia and such. But, you know, he says, think of it as money. Think of it as energy. Capture it up high, he says. It's distilled from the sky. It goes through the whole organic process. And I keep, you know, coming on KSCO on this topic and trying to encourage people to collect rainwater. I'm up here in the Redwoods, and we have, you know, fire danger. And so we've been trying to get people to realize that you can catch rainwater, store it, and then use that the rest of the year. And
that's
for fire protection.
That's where they get their water.
Exactly.
And for fire protection also. And I think that's one of the ways that we can, you know, help with the water. But the reason I called in was I grew up in the Santa Clara Valley when it was called the fruit basket of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a large Italian family, and we always went out and cut apricots and picked prunes, and my brothers picked cherries and such, and we always got enough money to buy our school clothes for the next school year. And it was a wonderful way. And then I was living, and I, all of a sudden I started seeing them cutting the trees down and burning them, and I was just flabbergasted. I couldn't understand what the heck was going on. And I'm just wondering, are you going to be able to keep these farms in production. I know you've touched on it a little bit today, but I'm worried that the same thing could happen over in Watsonville and, you know, with these fruit trees and stuff. It scares the heck out of me because I call it, I don't call it the Silicon Valley, I call it the Sewercon Valley because they've contaminated the air, the water, and the ground. And from where what I saw, you know, how beautiful it was, and to see it now, every time I go over there, I keep saying, they're still building. They're still building. You know, they're still the last remnants.
I think it's a real concern. As long as I've been aware, I have been, you know, knowledgeable of the risk of the Santa Cruz County, Pajaro Valley turning into the Silicon Valley. And it's been something that, you know, politically in Santa Cruz County, the supervisors have over the years, you know, fought the easy way out, which would have been to, you know, basically pave the valley over, and I think we've done a good job of protecting.
It was the electorate, you know, who voted Measure J in 1978, I think it was, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that directed the supervisor. The word was laid down by the voters.
Right. We don't want to be like those guys.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So it's up to the supervisors to come up with a way so that doesn't happen.
Right. And so I think the water issue
is
going to be the deciding factor because if we can't keep farming here, if we run out of water and we can't keep farming here, then the pressure to develop the properties is going to be intense. And at that point, I think the pendulum could swing the other way. So, I mean, I think the part that we're doing, we pay a lot more for our fruit than our competitors do. And we hopefully are paying enough to keep our growers happy and thriving and encouraged to continue growing apples, because there's no question that the apples that we have left in this valley are helping the whole cause.
Wow.
There's no question.
John, I kid around a lot. I really salute you guys for that. I've been, and all the listeners are too. I mean, that's great. That's really cool what you guys do. It really, really is. It's a Saturday special, closing 5 minutes. Thank you, Jan, for your call on the Saturday special. Here's Kenny in Watsonville. You got a couple of really good Martinelli stories. You're on, Kenny.
Thanks. The first is a story that was related to me by a friend who was and a neighbor who was in the military, and he was stationed in the Marshall Islands, which is about as far from Watsonville as you can get. And he was a scuba diver, so he used to get on boats when he had his time off, and he would, you know, go here and there. And he went to one of the most remote islands in the Marshall Islands, went into this little Quonset hut store to get something to drink, and there, when he opened up the little cooler, were several bottles of Martinelli apple juice.
Really?
At him, which he probably bought and drank on the spot.
And when was this?
This was back in the, this would have been probably the mid to late 90s.
Okay.
Is when he was in the service. And then the other story.
Was that a commissary then?
Pardon me?
Was that a commissary?
No, it was just a little store that was owned by the guy who lived on the island. And he, my friend had thought that he had just purchased them maybe in Japan or, I don't know, you know, somewhere, because he bought a lot of stuff and brought it back to his shop there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's how it got distributed.
Well, I can tell you, we don't have any salespeople working that market.
I knew you didn't, but I thought you'd get a kick out of that story.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, you're adding to the reduction in the trade deficit by selling apple juice there.
Wow. You know, that's a whole other subject, Michael. Someday we want to talk about that because it's really important. Yeah.
My other quick story is I used to manage an apple orchard, a small one in Corralitos back in the early 80s, and I would take my apples to several local places. And I can tell you, as far as your quality of apples, the people that were checking us in there were the most selective of any place that I ever went, and they were always checking in for the quality of them, and it was just one of those things. And there was a gentleman, I don't know who it was, but I think he had a cane back in the early 80s that would be out there, and boy, if you tried to bring him a skanky windfall, he'd chase you out of there.
Oh.
But Mr. Martinelli, I wanted to thank you for all you and your company do for the community of Watsonville. you do so much, and we so appreciate it through your business and all the things that you do. And I just want to let you know that we're very appreciative.
Well, that's very encouraging. Thank you. I do appreciate that. We're not. I always, whenever they ask me to talk on this show, I always feel a little bit nervous about it because we don't like to brag about what we do. But I have heard people thanking us and appreciating the effort that we put in, I hear that, and I do thank you for that. You're welcome.
You're certainly welcome. Keep it up.
Okay. Hey, there's only 2 minutes left. Not even that. There's one more caller. Let's see if there's anything more in the email here that I can't even save this draft here. So, John Martinelli. Great having you on. Got to have you. This is the first time you've ever been on with me, anyhow.
With you.
Yeah.
I've done Olson's show a couple times.
I mean, it'll be 17 years we've had the station at the end of January. How is it that never happened before?
I don't know.
Off doing our things. We'll have to more often. Or certainly again, because there's an awful lot of other things to talk about that we didn't get to this time. Real quick, we can get to John and Carmel here. Real, real quick here. Less than a minute, John. You're on. Carmel, John, you're on.
Hey, this is John and Carmel. Wanted to ask you a proper temperature to serve it at, and I'm proud to serve it next fine champagne for my guests who don't drink alcohol.
Sparkling cider?
Yep.
54 degrees.
So it's almost the same as champagne.
Exactly.
And again, it's a very lovely product. I'm glad it's festive, it's wonderful, and I enjoy it.
Good. Well, thank you very much. Have you tried any of the new blends?
No.
You'll have to look for them. They're out there, but not they're hard to find.
Oh, but some, yeah, well, Knob Hill.
We have two bottles here, right, Knob Hill.
Hey, great having you, John. Look forward to having you again. Happy holidays.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, that's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, it's 12 noon. Here is Fox News. Somewhere.
Almost.
There. 2-1 There it is.
Fox News Radio. I'm Jane Metzler. Iowa on ice.
We had a plane that just slid off the...